When excited board members visited the site of the recreation ground for the first time on August 3, 1875, they selected a location for the main entrance to the grounds. It was going to be at the northwest corner of the grounds, opening onto Carrington Road, now Victoria Road. This site was chosen because it was the closest point to the town. Unfortunately, Town Section 1084, which wasn't part of the original land allocation, was necessary for this plan. Although the plot was vacant, when they tried to acquire it, their request was denied. A decision was made to move the entrance to Liardet Street, which at the time was the only reasonable alternative. Although people could come up Liardet Street, this was not ideal as a stream that crossed the street had to be bridged, and a large hill outside the entrance to the grounds had to be surmounted. Take a step outside of the Liardet Street entrance and look at the cutting either side of the road. That cutting did not exist when the recreation grounds was officially opened in May 1876. The first proper gates to be erected at the entrance were donated by George Rind, in 1885. They were built by blacksmith James Revel, were made of wrought iron, and hung on large iron posts. Unfortunately, the foundations were not built as solidly as the gates themselves and soon collapsed, leaving the gates impassable. In 1890, Robert Hughes Sr. took it upon himself to fix the problem. He engaged Arthur Mufflin to design a new entrance, which included rehanging the existing gates. A full-width concrete foundation was laid with concrete pillars supporting the gates. On the west side, a smaller wicket was added for foot traffic. What was described as a smaller wicket was an opening with a turnstile. In 1936, a decision was made to replace the gates with something much more imposing. At the Park Committee meeting in April 1937, Mr. Syme, of Messrs. Syme and Griffiths, presented a sketch of the proposed new gates. The following month it was resolved that the plans as submitted by Messrs. Griffiths and Syme be approved, and that they be appointed architects to the board for this work, and that they be authorized to prepare specifications and call for tenders at their earliest convenience. The pylons and walls were designed to be finished with Mount Summer stone, but the construction estimates using this material were far more than the committee could afford. The architects came back with an alternative, which was described as waterproofed stone, tinted blocks, marked out to represent stone courses. The fake stone finish did not sit well with longtime committee member William Short, who was a stonemason. The lowest tender, using Mount Summer stone, was £3,636, and the lowest tender, using the alternative finish, was £1,575 by Boone Brothers Limited, who were given the contract. The following month, the architects came back with a finer finish, which incorporated mica. The gates were advertised as being memorial gates, however, the names of the benefactors that should appear on the memorial plaques was not clear. A marble tablet inscribed with the names of deceased benefactors, including J.T. Davis, Martha King, and others had been erected on the face of Cannon Hill in 1906. By 1937, the tablet had fallen into a state of disrepair, and was removed. It was probably the intention to add all of the names from this tablet onto a plaque on the new gates, however, because the gates were being funded from the Sanders bequest, it was felt it was only proper that his name alone should appear on the gates, which is as it is today. The original Rind gates were taken down and relocated to the Victoria Road entrance at the end of Gilbert Street, where they still stand today.